What's it like to grow up with a great scientist? Well, it made quite an impression on the children of conservationist Aldo Leopold. All five became scientists themselves. Three were inducted into the National Academy of Sciences. And remarkably, Leopold never pushed his kids into these careers. In fact, when the family spent weekends at their land in central Wisconsin, the children had no idea they were part of a grand experiment in prairie restoration. Today, Aldo Leopold's A Sand County Almanac is a nature-writing classic, and the shack, the little chicken coop where the Leopolds stayed during those weekends, has become a kind of sacred shrine to the environmental movement. Steve Paulson recently sat down with three of Aldo's children, Carl and Estella Leopold and Nina Leopold Bradley, and asked them about the first time they saw the shack. Carl.
We came in a cold February day, and Dad had said he had bought a farm, and it was on by the Wisconsin River, and it was going to be lots of fun. And I thought, at least, of having a cottage next to the river and with a screen porch where you could play poker or play bridge or do things of the sort.
And
there was a big letdown.
It was no cottage, but it was by the river.
Well, sort of.
And we walked into this chicken coop, and it was about this high in manure, frozen, of course, it being February. And Mother said something like, Aldo, are you sure you want to bring the children up here?
So there were literally several feet of manure in the chicken
and
coop?
And we had a pickaxe and shovels, and we spent the first day getting rid of the manure, wheelbarrowing it out of the old barn. That was the shack.
And it was kind of interesting. Of course, one of the first jobs was to try to make this chicken coop a little bit more habitable. And my father, instead of going to the lumber yard to pick up whatever we could use on this project, we would go to the river. And all of us would walk
up. Or the dump. The dump was a favorite place for
And we would
materials.
Walk upriver and pick up any kind of 2x4 or whatever would be usable. And it wasn't until Sand County Almanac came out that we really understood the kinds of things that my father was thinking about. He made it into almost
this business
poetry.
Of scrap lumber was sometimes taken rather to the extreme. For instance, the joists, overhead joists that held up the roof over the bunkhouse were too short, so that they were butted end to end and then patched with little pieces of 2x4 holding them together.
Well, I have to say, this is not exactly the way to get your children hooked on being out in the land, I would think. You know, to see this heap of a chicken coop, and I guess the land itself was kind of run down too, wasn't it?
Dismal.
Yes.
It was
definitely.
Cockle burrs and quack grass
and sand burrs, and there was a great barren landscape with rundown fences, but you could see all over the place. But these were worn out soils, and obviously the guy had gone broke in the 30s.
Then the house burned down when the bootlegger that had been inhabiting it had caught fire. And
the previous owner was a bootlegger?
The last owner, I think, was a bootlegger.
But can't you imagine five teenage kids? This was a wonderful challenge. The one I think that was the real queen that made it happen correctly was our mother. She was not disparaging. She dug right in just with all the rest of us. She met the challenge.
And so we would go camping up there almost every weekend of life. And it went on and on for years, right? And it was Mother who'd pack the picnic baskets and get everybody rounded up, and we'd all get in the car and drive off in the cloud of dust or whatever.
Now, did your father pick this land because it was so run down? Was that part of the point?
So run down and so remote. And he wrote even an essay about being run down and hard to reach and can be sometimes isolated. And that was very important part of it, that it wasn't next to a real road and people couldn't come to visit unless they were invited on a good weather day.
In fact, he wrote, "My own farm was selected for its lack of goodness and its lack of highway. In fact, my whole neighborhood lies in the backwash of the River Progress."
And good so what Carl is referring to, Anina, too, is the great floods that would come in the spring and the fall, and it made it quite difficult, Professor Leopold, to get back to class on Monday. It also made it hard to get in, which we used to do with waiters, or just wading in a mile and a half walk to the little shack.
Now, today, this is often called one of America's first acts of ecological restoration, what you all and your father, Aldo Leopold,
did. That was a really interesting point, because we were not really aware of it. We didn't set out in that manner, but we were actually participating with Dad on a major experiment. And so, yes, you're right. It was a very novel and new idea about restoring.
And we can add to that, Carl, that Dad made a big point of only bringing in native species of, for example, the pines that we planted. And the herbs and the perennials, the wildflowers, were all to be native species. And we hoped that soon, by burning the prairie and so forth, that we would get rid of the weeds. And, of course, that happened.
I thought Dad showed an amazing skill in the way he trained us, which really wasn't training us at all. He never sat down and explained to us that we are trying to restore this property in to what it looked like before white man took it away from the Indians. And so year after year, as we planted and things survived or didn't survive, we finally got the idea. And it was not by his telling us exactly what to do.
So you didn't ask him, gee, Dad, why are we doing all of this? That never occurred to any of you to ask?
It didn't occur to me.
Well, we sure went along with the fun of doing it, and it was beautiful.
That's right.
It was really beautiful.
The fun was really the driving force.
But an example of this, I think, is Dad kept very careful records of all the natural events of the season. And so we all participated in keeping track of these records. And I remember walking into camp one day and I had said, Dad, the martens are here. And Dad looked at me with this wonderful smile. I'm sure the martens had come 2 weeks earlier. But that was the way we were learning.
Hmm. Now, I've heard that he didn't always give an easy answer to a question. I mean, I'm curious about the whole educational process. I mean, here you grew up with one of the great conservationists of the 20th century, but the education was very subtle, is what you're saying.
It was indeed. For me, it was.
True.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you an example. Dad was quite elderly at the time, but anyhow, he wrote in his book that the survival of oaks in our place probably came in low rabbit years, because the rabbits chewed off the oaks and they tasted good in winter. So he proposed that there was a rabbit cycle and then an oak cycle would be counter to that. So I did, put this whole Dad, I was going to do a thesis on that topic. And he said, that's okay. It might work out. You know? And I did, and it did, and so forth. And it was a good idea, obviously, his idea. But he didn't tell you what to do, of course.
But he planted he wanted you to do it.
I think it turned out well, yes.
Now, you mentioned the significance your father gave to record keeping. He was a meticulous record keeper?
Oh, yes, definitely.
And he wrote, keeping records enhances the pleasure of the search and the chance of finding order and meaning in these events. 'Tis true. We're still keeping records on the same property.
And I suppose that's really part of the art of being a naturalist, the naming of things and knowing when things happen. I mean, that's half of the scientific enterprise.
One of the biologists at the University of Wisconsin, when I was around here, was Jim Zimmerman. And he said, you know, what's really unique about Leopold's shack is that he goes to one place over and over again and records and sees the events of the seasons. And he said, what a pleasure. What a natural historical source of information.
And it's also uncertain when Dad bought the property and started this whole thing. Was he really intending to carry out this big super experiment that was really a part of his professional direction, or was it really just for fun? And I honestly don't know.
I guess the most important thing to me was the fact that we really learned to enjoy working. I mean, we'd go out with our shovels and work hard, and we found it pleasurable. I think for teenage kids, that was quite an accomplishment on Dad's part.
I agree. I think that was amazing.
And I think you can add that we learned to take good care of tools. Dad was very careful to keep the tools shiny and sharp, and that they should never be put away when they were wet or muddy.
So why did this take? I mean, why didn't you resent being asked to do all of this labor?
Look, that's an impossible question to answer. It's the same as the question about how come all the siblings went into science. I haven't a clue. I honestly don't know.
I think it was because Dad and Mother didn't push it on us. Dad would not even invite us to go to the shack. He'd say, your mother and I are going to the shack. Anybody want to come? And, of course, we all wanted to come, and we'd bring our friends. But I think had they urged it on us, we might have had a different response. It's only a guess, Steve.
Well, I have to follow up on the other point you made, Carl, the fact that the three of you and your two siblings all went into science and pursued careers in one way or another with a deep love of the natural world.
Right.
I would have thought there would have been some rebellion here. I mean, at least one of you would have
Wouldn't
gone
you?
Off and
Wouldn't you
say,
think?
You know, yes, I'm not going to do this.
Yes.
So why not?
I just don't understand. I can't believe it. It's just amazing. And it's extremely rare. I think that there are occasional families where this happens, but it's pretty
unusual.
I
think Dad was awesome. He really was. And it was all very subtle. But
he was a little secretive, in fact. Mm-hmm. He wasn't out in front with telling you what's going to happen and what you're going to, you do this, you do that, as Nina has already said.
Now, your father died on this land as he was, died from a heart attack as he was fighting a grass fire. And Estella, you were there that day?
Yes, and it was, of course, we were all in horrendous shock when we realized what had happened. But Mother had been posted by Dad to keep the fire from crossing the road at some point, a little upstream from where the brush fire was. I was sent to get help from a fire truck, and they didn't come, wouldn't come, but then was out in the marsh, as Dad had instructed, making sure that it didn't travel northward toward our farm. And we got the news from a farmer walking toward me in the marsh that something had happened to Dad. And somehow, I just knew what it was. It's terrible, but one knows.
Did he have any history of heart trouble?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't think so.
He had just had a complete checkup, and everything was fine.
Yeah. So I think it was a terribly frightening time. That fire was frightening.
A marvelous sort of symbolism of an ecologist who's dedicated to trying to do, shall we say, restoration and improvement of the quality of a community. For him to be killed doing a very dramatic component of tending to the land this is pretty extraordinary.
Today, Carl and Estella Leopold and Nina Leopold Bradley are board members of the Aldo Leopold Foundation, based in Baraboo, Wisconsin. They talked with Steve Paulson.